Today's episode is made possible by Affinity Solutions. Unlock your business's potential with actionable insights into consumer spending, powered by Affinity Solutions. With exclusive insights from over 140 million cards, Affinity Solutions showcases consumer purchase behavior with unprecedented clarity. Seize the opportunity to reshape your strategy with accuracy, execute with precision, and measure with confidence. Affinity Solutions equips you to outperform in today's competitive landscape. Step into the future of analytics with Affinity Solutions today.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Behind the Numbers Around the World, an eMarketer podcast made possible by Affinity Solutions. It's Monday, December 13th. I'm your host, Bill Fisher, and it's my absolute pleasure to welcome you all to Around the World with our international forecast trends, past, present, and future. Welcome, folks, to a Behind the Numbers show that takes you around the world looking at what various countries are doing in the worlds of commerce, media, and advertising. Each month, I give you a global news recap, then I speak with some of our experts to get their take on the main theme for today's show. And today, we're looking at everything forecast related, and we're going to repeat something we did last year at this time. We went all Dickensian and looked at the ghosts of forecasts past, present, and future. I will be asking our experts which forecast caught their eye in the past year.
And retail media is growing faster than overall digital. It's outpacing display and search. So it really speaks to how important retail media networks are and will be in the coming years.
What can we expect to see from them in the future?
They bring in $40 billion of sales to Latin America, which is roughly a fifth of Latin America e-commerce revenue sales. But this time around, we're looking to add 12 other companies to our list.
And I'll be testing their knowledge about their present work.
Yeah, this is the kind of number that's probably still changing dramatically, right? As all of these social media platforms build out their e-commerce capabilities, you're getting this a lot of growth here.
Before we get into any of that, though, first I'm going to give you our quick news recap that we refer to simply as 3 in 3. I have 3 minutes to cover 3 interesting news stories that we've seen in Around the World Towers, and we're going to continue this past, present, and future theme here. The timer is set. Let's go. We're going to start by considering the past and Epic Games' varying legal fortunes. Back in 2021, Epic Games sought to challenge Apple's, in its words, monopolistic position in the App Store. It failed on 9 of 10 counts. The big one outlined here by CNET.
Judge Gonzalez-Rogers says, quote, "The court does not find that it is impossible, only that Epic Games failed in its burden to demonstrate Apple is an illegal monopolist."
Last week, though, Epic succeeded in a similar case against Google and its Play Store. The key difference, according to Epic CEO Tim Sweeney, was that Apple didn't write things down and it blocks at the technical level. Also, that the Google trial was a jury trial. Whatever the reasons, this finding could have implications for Apple, and its past may come back to haunt it. For our story about the present, we are in Indonesia, where TikTok Shop is back. Earlier this year, the Indonesian government essentially cut TikTok Shop down in its prime by introducing new laws forcing social platforms to separate their core function from shopping features on the app. Here's the BBC's Asia Business reporter, Katie Silver, to explain more.
You mentioned it's basically something of a recovery plan. They already were operating in Indonesia, but they faced regulatory hurdles back in September, October. And this is their way of trying to get back into this very big market. So as you mentioned,
TikTok has partnered with GoTo, which is Indonesia's answer to Uber, and TikTok will take a controlling stake in the Tokopedia entity, which is the e-commerce side of the GoTo business. It's going to cost TikTok $1.5 billion in investment, but it might be worth it in order to activate the 125 million users it currently has in the country. Where will this story go to next? And finally, for our future story, we're in Europe for the regulation of AI. We begin very much in the present though, because only last week the European Parliament reached a provisional agreement on laws to regulate the use of artificial intelligence. But don't get too excited just yet. It took years to get this far, and the future is far from certain, as France 24 science editor Julia Seeger outlines.
Not there yet. The law still needs to be formally approved by member states and the parliament, and we'll probably see it be enforced by 2025. Mm. And as I said, there's probably going to be a lot of new developments in the domain of AI until then.
Okay, it took fully 36 hours of talks to get this stage of the act over the line. Expect many more twists and turns yet to come. The end. Or maybe not. That's my 3 and 3 this month. And now I have another 3 for you. 3 of our very best forecasting minds here at Insider Intelligence. Let's meet them. First up, we have our principal forecasting writer and regular on Around the World. It's Ethan Kramer Flood. Hey there, Ethan.
Hey, Bill. I'm glad that this episode is now going to be an annual thing.
I love that it's now going to be a tradition, indeed. Next up, we have our senior forecasting analyst, who I only wheel out on special occasions like this. It's Oscar Bruce. Hi, Oscar.
Hi, Bill. Hi, everyone.
Great to have you back a year later. And finally, we have another of our senior forecasting analysts, and I'm sorry to admit I forgot he's in Colorado, and I scheduled this terribly, and it's far too early for him at the moment. It's Zach Goldner. Hey, Zach.
Bottom of the morning, everyone. Bottom of the morning. Happy to be here.
That pun still doesn't work, but good effort. Okay, before anything else, it's time for this month's Culture Shock. So this is something that wasn't here last year. This is where I take you to various countries around the world and give you some cultural facts or introduce you to some culturally specific norms. And given we're in the festive spirit, I have a few Christmas traditions for you. In Serbia, for example, the gift giving happens on the two Sundays before Christmas Day, and it's in the form of a ransom. So apparently kids tie up their mum and then their dad on consecutive weekends, and the parents then have to give gifts as ransoms in order to be set free. Strange tradition. In Greenland, meanwhile, the turkey dinner is replaced by something called kiviak. Now, this is particularly odd. This is a dead bird that's been wrapped up in seal skin and buried under the snow for a few months so it can ferment. Sounds delicious. And finally, in Iceland, not content with just one Santa, they have 13 Yule lads, each of which comes down from the mountains in the 13 days before Christmas and leaves gifts in the shoes of children, or else a rotten potato, depending on whether the child has been good or bad. So there you go, 3 Christmas traditions. Any unique Christmas traditions in your households?
You got at least 2 Jews on the
you got 2
today,
Jews
Bill,
that
so.
Eat Chinese food and watch a movie.
It's just me then.
But I do come from the Philippines, so we usually have a big feast at midnight on Christmas Eve, which is not the best time to eat anything, to eat a lot. So yeah, so that's a fun tradition. That's when
that's
we have our gift giving.
You have a full dinner at midnight.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
And then you sleep and the whole Christmas day.
Yeah.
I will say this, Bill. Christmas has been the longest standing tradition that me and my family has. And every night on Christmas, it'd be going to Chinese food, watching a movie after. I do have one great childhood memory of going to England for the first time. And we go there on Christmas and we aren't thinking everywhere there is closed. So our Christmas meal was a box of Lunchables for each of us.
That's still better than kiviak, though. I can guarantee that. That sounds disgusting. Fermented dead bird. Right, okay, enough of this. Let's get on to the forecasts. And we're going to start by being visited by the ghosts of forecasts past. And I just want to hear from each of you about a international forecast that you've produced or written about or been involved with in some way in the past year that either surprised you or just simply stood out as an interesting story. And we've got you up nice and early, Zach. So let's start with you. What caught your eye in 2023?
Great. Well, first we'll start off with travel recovery in Europe. So the travel industry in Europe is experiencing takeoff. Bill, I hope that pun landed.
It was better than the last one. Yeah.
Well, years after facing the harsh realities of what happened during the pandemic, of the travel shutdown, in Europe, we're witnessing a big rebound that surpasses 2019 levels, and it's outpacing all other industries in terms of ad spending growth. in 2022 and in 2023 as well. And we'll continue to see the industry have fast growth, double-digit ad spending growth in the years to come. So before getting into it, just want to quickly define what travel means. That's airlines, car rental, hotels and resorts, cruises, that kind of thing. But for this forecast, we look at three of the key European markets, being the UK, Germany, and France. And for each of those markets, travel is by far and away the leading industry. So there are a couple of country-specific milestones. The UK is number one in terms of total ad spend for travel, with over $2 billion, followed by Germany and France, who are a good bit under that, and they're just around $1 billion. If anyone is looking to learn a little bit more about the industry ad spend report, Bill has made three of them for each of the individual countries.
Nice plug. Appreciate that. Thank you.
One other thing on this too is there's been a big shift in strategy among travel advertisers. So prior to 2020, travel had been ruled by search advertising, but now we're starting to see display advertising come more and more into the picture because the travel industry is needing to get more and more creative. They're shifting from just performance and search and embracing display to help get people back and comfortable into their travel norms. So one company in particular is Airbnb. They've abandoned completely their SEM strategy of focusing on search and focusing more on storytelling. And that's really helped out their bottom line. I don't know about you guys, but I've seen a couple Airbnb commercials which are showing castles and vineyards, which I didn't even know were possible to stay at till watching those. So if I was in Europe, I'd flock to those immediately. But I think it's a trend we're going to continue to see in the years to come, that travel is back and you're going to see more and more ads both online and on TV.
Yeah, that certainly feels like that's happening here in the US as well. I mean, just on TV is nothing but travel ads trying to tempt me to go anywhere in the world.
Yeah, I live in a castle, Zach, so you're welcome anytime.
that's normal over there. Right?
Okay, Ethan, what about you? What have you seen in the past year?
Sure, I got an interesting one. I don't know if this is going to qualify as surprising, but some of these numbers are pretty wild. And I'm going to talk about one of the true giants of the digital media world, and that's YouTube. So I'm not going to surprise anyone by telling folks that YouTube is very big. I think we probably all know that. It's got a whole heck of a lot of users, but it hit a couple of thresholds in 2023 that really kind of blew my mind when I sat back and thought about the scale that we're really talking about when we talk about YouTube. So for the first time, over 50% of all internet users in the world were YouTube users as of 2023. It's the first time they hit that mark. That is 2.37 billion people using YouTube, a staggering number. That's just among internet users. If we narrowed it down to digital video viewers, and if we eliminate China, which is something you have to do,
yeah,
if you're going to give YouTube a fair shake, given that they are, you know, legally blocked from 1.4 billion people, over a billion internet users, over a billion digital video viewers, they just can't have. So if you take them out of the equation, 88% of the world's digital video viewers use YouTube. It's kind of shocking. Again, like we kind of know this in the back of our head, or we can sort of assume it or guess at it. But when you think about it, this will be almost 2.5 billion people this year into 2024. You're talking about what's got to be the single most unifying media application in the history of the world. Right? There can't ever have been anything quite this big before when you think about the age of television. I mean, obviously, like broad categories, social media or just the internet in general are bigger. But you're talking about one standalone platform. There's nothing at this scale. You know, Facebook does have 2 billion. Which, but that still trails YouTube by hundreds and hundreds of million. TikTok, we got just over 1 billion this year. There are certainly other giants out there, but nothing at the scale of YouTube. And even Facebook is not quite the same experience in terms of being like a global town square, a platform wherein you can see everyone everywhere in the world, can pretty much see everything that everyone else in the world can see. There's nothing ever really been like this. And now it's over 50% of internet users worldwide without even having China. So that to me stuck out.
That's good. That's great to lay out in color there. That's really interesting. Oscar, what have you got?
Well, we just updated our ad spend forecast maybe a month or two ago, and we had a big push to break out retail media ad spending for a number of markets. I personally worked on France and Germany, but we also broke out Brazil, Mexico, Canada, the UK, in addition to the US, which you already have. And we also just published a worldwide figure. We've always known that retail media ad spending is big, but now we have numbers to back that up. And it's just surprising, maybe not surprising, but it's still fascinating that retail media ad spending is growing at such a fast pace. Next year in 2024, retail media ad spending will be growing at least 20% in every market we break out. And that's very interesting. Amazon is a solid number three behind Google and Meta in a lot of these markets. And retail media is growing faster than overall digital. It's outpacing display and search. So it really speaks to how important retail media networks are and will be in the coming years.
Yeah, and I think we've been referring to this as the third wave of, yes, of advertising, haven't we? And this is very much the case outside of the US, right? This is,
yes,
this
so it's not just a US thing.
Yeah.
It's pretty much every major market.
Yeah. that was the real finding. It was like, oh, wow, this is happening everywhere. Mm. And yeah, maybe the U.S. got out in front of it by, you know, a few months. But boy, it immediately started to bubble up anywhere you can track it.
Yeah, it's not just Amazon having it, but you also see retail media from Mercado Libre and other great large international companies.
Awesome. Thanks for bringing that up, Oscar, because I can plug my January report, which will be retail media ad spending in the UK. So thanks for that. Okay, that was the ghost of forecast past. Now it's to look at our forecast of Christmas present. This is going to take the form of a quiz. We usually have our recap stats quiz at the end of the show, but we're mixing things up today and having this right in the middle. So I have a number of multiple choice questions about our international forecasts for the 12 months up to December 2023. You guys are in a three-way battle to be crowned the forecast champion. No pressure. And if you do win, Zach, you can wear your special hat. But you have to win on merit, okay? So these are all a little bit random, this one especially so. So question one, which country will have seen the biggest rise in Facebook users this year? And I have four options for each of these questions. So which country will have seen the biggest growth in Facebook users this year? We have India, Egypt, Nigeria, or Japan. An interesting mix of countries there. And let's start with Oscar. What's going to be your guess?
I have no idea. I know Japan has a very low Facebook penetration. So let's go with Japan just because it's growing from a small base, but I don't know really.
Okay. What about you, Ethan?
I mean, I did so badly on these last year. I'm pretty sure I came in last. But, you know, for the record, for the listeners, I am a forecast writer, not a forecaster. So really, there should
the
be more pressure
are
on my
coming,
colleagues.
Ethan. The excuses are coming, and it's question one. Very impressive.
This is their numbers. They should know them better. You know, it's not my responsibility. All right, sorry. What were the four countries again?
India, Egypt, Nigeria, Japan.
Just because India is growing its overall internet user base more quickly on average than most other places, I'll go with India.
Okay, and Zach?
I'm also a little bit stuck here. I like Oscar Bruce's reasoning here, but I'm going to go with India with Ethan because I think with the TikTok ban that India did see, that we could be seeing more and more users head towards Facebook.
Facebook, yeah. Okay, this was a bit left field. Some strange country choices here, but Japan actually comes in last. But it's seeing nearly a 6% decline in Facebook users. India, next best, just 2.5% increase. Nigeria, 3.5%. Egypt, 4.5%. All quite small percentages anyway.
Right.
So you know, that was just luck of the draw. It was, could have been anything really, couldn't it? But unlucky. The scores after the first round. Anyway, let's move on.
That's tough.
Okay, next question.
If we all tie for zero, does Zach still get to put his championship hat on?
I've got a tie break. Don't worry.
Okay,
next question. As I think you mentioned, Ethan, with the YouTube story, China, you know, skews most things. It's usually top in most country rankings when it comes to absolute numbers for things. That's true for cross-border buyers as well. There are 285 million of them in China. But as a proportion of the total population, that sees it come way behind, actually. So which country tops that list? So cross-border buyers as a proportion of the total population. And the countries I have for you for this are Argentina, Canada, Singapore, or Vietnam. And I'll ask you first, Ethan.
Oh, man. I was hoping you were going to give me a Europe option because I know they have very high figures in this. So I would assume Canada does a lot of cross-border e-commerce with Amazon being right there. But Singapore is so small. What else are they going to do? So I'll go with Singapore.
Okay. And Zach?
The reason I'm going to cancel Argentina here is kind of because it's on their more nationalist policies where I don't think there's as much free trade there. I'm going to go with Ethan, Singapore as well, a small country, a lot of free trade within the region.
Well, you followed me last time and we did terribly.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, making me rethink my strategy here.
I don't know. Yeah, don't have me go first anymore.
What's your strategy, Oscar?
Process of elimination. I just won't choose their answer just to be interesting. Maybe Vietnam for no reason.
Okay.
Probably not Argentina because of their currency.
Bill, put me in a Canada. We're switching it up last minute.
Ooh, you sure? That's risky.
Yeah, we'll switch it up.
It was a very risky move because it's wrong, but it was very close. So Canada and Singapore actually very close. Canada just over 44%, Singapore nearly 46%. So, you know, just less than 2 percentage points in it. You were all right about Argentina. 2.7% of the population shop cross-border. So
external goods are too expensive with their currency crisis. Yeah. Wait, so this means I have points.
You have a point. You're the only one to have
one
point.
So well done.
I think your point system makes a lot more sense than the Marcus way of scoring.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, this is a real quiz. This is a real game. Anyway, enough of that. Question three next. Another stat where China doesn't lead is in Instagram user numbers. It's banned in the country, of course. So which country has the most? And I'm talking about a raw user number here. So which of the following countries has the most user numbers? India, Brazil, Indonesia, US. And we're going to go for Zach first.
I'm going to go with India. Lots of people. Okay. Lots of potential.
Yep. Oscar?
It's probably just either India or US in terms of population. I'll just go with the US.
And Ethan?
Yeah, I agree that by magnitude, it has to be either India or the US. I can't remember. I guess India. I'll go with India.
You're just sticking with Zach, so you can...
Oh,
wait,
I followed
him,
right? This time? Well, actually...
No, that's fine. You can have it.
We learned our lesson because he went away from me and then he didn't get it. So I'll stick with India.
Yeah, and you would be right to stick with India. India has over 270 million Instagram users. US is second, but some way back, 135 million. And then Brazil and Indonesia with 113 and 90 million, respectively. And our final question, social buyers. You wouldn't be surprised to know that China leads here pretty much by every measure, I think. But I want to look at social media buyers as a proportion of digital buyers. China does lead with 55.5%. But which country comes second on the list? So this is social media buyers as a proportion of total digital buyers. And the countries we have are Japan, the UK, the US and Russia. And we're back to Oscar. What do you think?
I'm guessing UK.
Okay.
No reason.
Ethan?
Yeah, this is the kind of number that's probably still changing dramatically, right? As all these social media platforms build out their e-commerce capabilities, you're getting this a lot of growth here, but I have no idea who's leading right now. Maybe the US. We haven't had a US yet, but you threw one US in there.
Okay. And Zach?
I would like to go with Southeast Asia with Japan, but also... I think that Russia's got, with their VK, a lot of social buying opportunities. So I'm going to go with Russia here.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a good guess. It's the right answer. Russia with nearly 55%. The US close behind.
I'm getting my head ready, Bill. I'm getting my head ready.
Yeah. With 50%, that's the US. UK back on nearly 35%. Japan 22%. So we do have a tie. Ethan and Zach, 2 points apiece. Yeah. So this is where the tie break comes in, and it's usually something completely unrelated, and I just look for a number, okay? And the closest to the number wins. And I get to do a humble brag as well. So my eldest son, it was his birthday this month, he turned 16. Last year, as an under 15 athlete, he competes in track, he's quite good. At one point, he was ranked number 3 in the UK for the 100 meter sprint.
Wow. Whoa. Well,
how fast do you think he ran the 100 meters as a 15-year-old? So, you know, it's not quite Usain Bolt, 9.5 watt seconds, but, you know, it's still pretty quick. So to the nearest 100th of a second. So I'm looking for 2 decimal points. Who's going to be brave and go first?
Ethan.
I don't regular fast people run that. I mean, yeah, I was thinking anything under 10 seconds gets you onto like the world stage, right? But he's 15, so 12 seconds.
12 flat, yeah.
And I have no idea what I'm talking about with running. So I'm going to go on the over of that and guess 12.1.
12.1. Good strategy.
Not 12.01, no? Okay.
I'll do 12.1. I'll give him all the margin of error there.
Well, sorry for you, Zach. You're not going to be able to wear your hat today because Ethan is the winner. Wow. He ran the 100 meters in 11.26 seconds as a 15-year-old, which was pretty quick. Yeah.
That is legit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good on.
I'm impressed. I am impressed.
It was either two things I was worried about. Well, first of all, I came into running, which I know nothing about. And I thought we were going to hear about European football, which I was very scared about. So lost anyways.
Well, anyway, we have a winner. Well done, Ethan. Congrats. You are the winner of this month's quiz. You win a prize as well. You win the adulation of your fellow forecasters. That's the promise.
Oh, I already had that. congrats to your son and congrats to all of us for him helping me prevent Zach from putting on his cowboy hat.
Oh, well done, all of you. Anyway, that is the Ghosts of Forecast Christmas present done. Finally, it's time to look into the future. Obviously, that's kind of your job to make educated guesses about what's coming down the line. But is there one thing that you're particularly excited for or just something you expect will stand out in the coming year or years? Let's start with Oscar for this one. What's coming up?
Sure. So for next year, we'll go deeper into our existing forecast, ad spend and e-commerce. So those two forecasts are among the most popular. And we've always wanted to go deeper into a lot of the things that we do break out already. Last year, we broke out product categories for France. So this, for next year, for 2024, we're looking into breaking out more markets if possible. And if not, we'll go in greater detail for some other product categories. In the middle of the year, we're also looking at B2B global ad spending. So that's something that we'll definitely explore. No promises yet, given that it will be subject to the data, but it's definitely something that we'll look at. And on the e-commerce side, we'll also look at other things that we could break up for that forecast as well.
Fingers crossed on the B2B. I know
people
often ask us about that. That would be great to see. Zach, what have you got?
Yeah, well, my point is having new retail and e-commerce company breakouts for Latin America. One of my favorite forecasts is covering retail and e-commerce for Latin America. The region's covered by one of my favorite analysts at the company, Mateo. And he's also a regular of the Around the World podcast. In recent years, we've had a lot of new additions to Latin America. We've had product categories for Argentina and Brazil, and we've also added in three new countries to our market coverage. Historically, in terms of companies, we'd only covered Mercado Libre. With Mercado Libre, they bring in $40 billion of sales to Latin America, which is roughly a fifth of Latin America e-commerce revenue sales. But this time around, we're looking to add 12 other companies to our list. In addition to Amazon, which we recently added to our Mexico-specific coverage, we're looking at adding in others like Americanas SA, Magazine Luiza, Via, Falabella, and more. So however many we can get would be great for us.
And I'm glad you said he was one of your favorite analysts.
One of my favorite. Bill, you're there. You got a special place in my heart.
Okay, that's really exciting as well. So this sounds great. Some really good stuff coming down the line. Yeah. Ethan, what are you looking forward to for next year?
Yeah, those are good stuff. Right? The LATAM e-commerce stuff always does really well. And anything product category related also always does really well. So I'm looking forward to what they're going to come up with. So mine's really simple. I'm going to do a direct preview here, a sneak peek of something that we know is already set to come out in January because, again, I'm not a forecaster. I just write up what these guys brilliantly come up with. So this is a real easy direct one. It's about worldwide ad spending, and it's going to be really easy to process what I'm about to say, because basically it's just that all the numbers are going up and everything's looking good. So sneak peek, this report won't actually be out till right in the beginning of January, but basically every way you can slice ad spending, growth will accelerate in 2024 as compared to 2023. So overall, total media ad spending around the world, digital ad spending around the world, traditional ad spending around the world, the growth figure will be better in the coming year than it was. And that also holds up across basically every region. So if you slice it in terms of North America, Latin America, Europe, Asia Pacific, you're going to see a better growth figure in 2024 than you will in 2023. It couldn't be simpler to process in your head. The news is just good. Now, the numbers are not going to be like amazing, 2021 numbers, but the numbers are going up. So we're talking about going from, mid-single digit growth to like low double digit growth in most places, which is good news. So this is going to be a fun read for folks who track this kind of stuff.
I love that. That's fantastic. And that is a fantastic way to end the show. Very optimistic, because it is time to end the show. That's all we have time for today. Thanks so much to my guests. Ethan, great to have you on the show as ever.
I love it. Let's do this again next year.
We certainly will. Oscar, I hope you'll come back next year. Thanks for joining me today.
You're welcome. And until next year.
And Zach, I hope you've woken up by now.
Nah, I'm going back to bed. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks for joining. And thanks to all of you for listening in today to Around the World, an eMarketer podcast made possible by Affinity Solutions. Tune in tomorrow for our Behind the Numbers daily show hosted by Marcus. If you want to ask us any questions, you can, of course, email us at podcast@emarketer.com. I hope you all have a great Christmas if you celebrate it, and that the Yule lads deliver something better than rotten potatoes in your shoes. I hope to see you all in 2024 for the next edition of Behind the Numbers Around the World. Bye for now.